we're going to grab what we have when we have powerlessness. We're going to take power of what we have.
Welcome, everyone, to the Driving Vision podcast brought to you by the Ziegler Auto Group. And here with me, Auto Group Director of Talent Development, Mike Van Ryn. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, thanks, Sam.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Like it if you do, and leave a comment. A healthy team culture is key within the Ziegler Auto Group. We continuously train toward delivering on our Auto Group mission statement, both to each other and to our Ziegler customers. This week, Tim Tarantine and Araya Daniels joined the podcast to discuss Tim's work within the Auto Group on resilience during challenging times and how to help the right culture thrive when it's most needed. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the special conversation with Tim Tarantine. Tim Tarantine, welcome back.
It's great to be back with you and Araya.
And Araya Daniels, of course, from our own team. Araya, welcome.
Hello. Thanks, Sam and Tim. Glad to be with you today.
So, Tim, you travel across our auto group. And one of the things that we've all noted over the past several years is how drastically this auto industry has changed, or has it, right, is the question. What do you see in terms of those changes and how has Team Ziegler navigated that?
Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, Sam, change is the only constant recently. And all of the data in all of the organizations that we work with, conversations that we're having, and of course, in the auto group, the rate and pace of change has picked up speed. So change has always been inevitable. And we'd expect it every few years in our lives at one point in time. Well, in business today, it could be every few days. Every few weeks, every few, moments, because the ways in which we have to respond and show up, not just to be the best in the industry, but also to be with one another at this time of great change. Yeah. You have to be intentional. And I think that's part of the fun I have with the auto group is that I get to go in and share and learn from folks in the group about how we're evolving and how we're figuring it out and changing the way we think about it. And that's big fun for me.
So, and Tim, that's a beautiful and that's a great setup to the conversation here. So maybe Araya can give some background and then we'll dive into what some of those specific changes have been. Araya, give some background on Tim Tarantine and what his involvement has been this past year and even before that across the Ziegler Auto Group.
Yeah, you know, Tim has been such a great friend and mentor. I know not even just personally to me, but to our auto group as a whole for many years. And Tim has recently, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tim, over the last year and a half or so, have stepped into a role that has been with your Translators Consulting Group. So it's been wonderful to partner with you on that and bring different topics and area that are relevant to our business and culture and leadership and so many different areas that have just been wonderful to learn from you and soak up your wisdom, which has been awesome. So we've really appreciated that.
Thank you. That means a lot. Appreciate it.
So, and recently you were at our Honda stores. I popped in there and I was able to listen to a few minutes of the presentation. You had a room packed full of Team Ziegler and the conversation was around a lot has changed over the past couple of years. So you think about some of those big changes, right? We went from a time where doors weren't all open, right? We had to find unique and creative ways to meet the customer where they could be during COVID. We were in a time of immense shortage, right? It was tough to find new cars. And now we're at a place where we're starting to see those cars coming back. And it's a very competitive environment out there in the retail world. And our teams are having to run towards the customer today in a way that, it's probably been a couple, 2-3 years since we've run towards them in this way. We have to be creative at connecting with each other and with the customer. How do you see teams in the auto industry connecting and meeting those needs with customers right now?
I think it's the teams who act like teams, the people who haven't fallen for a scarcity mindset and started to attack one another. And we talked a lot about thinking about how we build culture differently. It has to be about adding, not morphing into what's there, but how do we expand our ability to meet every customer's need, to create an experience every time with everybody who pulls on a lot, pulls into a bay, makes a phone call, sends a message, looks for a vehicle, or whatever we're doing, we want our culture to reflect those pride values. But that happens in the everyday. And when you're stressed and when stuff is changing, we go for safety, right? Yeah. And when we're trying to be safe, we start to protect ourselves and be defensive. And so we want to get the shame and the blaming and the need to be right out of our conversations, out of our meetings. We've got to stay open to get people's ideas and opinions, because if we don't, we'll fall into protecting ourselves versus becoming the culture we want to be. All of us would rather spend our energy walking toward excellence than squabbling with one another, right? And but in times of change, it gets scary, it gets tight, and we, you know, we close.
What is it about human nature that causes us to do that? Why do we, you know, when we're needing to be creative and we're needing to be resourceful, what is it about human nature that causes us to become protective and become defensive and kind of circle the wagon, so to speak? Because that is a natural response, right, to adversity. It's to, for some people, it's fight or flight, and in the flight, there's a protection mechanism, right?
You know, Tim, I want to jump in here because I think there was a portion of class that I really liked. And you talked about anxiety equaling uncertainty times powerlessness. And so like anxiety happens because we're uncertain about things and we feel powerless about certain aspects of whatever it is that we're doing, leading a group of people, creating the culture, right? So we get anxiety in times of uncertainty of things and we feel powerless.
Well, and I'll tell you, Chip Connelly wrote the book Emotional Equations. It helps us understand these things we feel through the lens of mathematical equations. And I shared that definition with class. And so what's the antidote when things get tight? Well, just think of the equation. If we want less anxiety, then we have to start to focus on what is in our control. And oftentimes, it's the way we're engaging with one another that's in the way. So if I can reduce uncertainty, create clarity, managers, please, if stuff is tight, get clear about what you expect, what you need, what you don't know, what you know. Clarity can reduce anxiety. And then the powerlessness is what's in our hand. What can we do? What innovations, what ideas could we bring? But when we're scared, we don't really, to your point, Sam, it's not idea time. But if we're going to be leaders and live excellently, we have to go against that grain and have enough self-awareness to say, you know what? We're going to grab what we have when we have powerlessness. We're going to take power of what we can.
We take power of what we can, and what we don't know, we seek to know. But there is something about being comfortable in uncertainty, right? I actually had a conversation recently with someone who said, you know, kind of in your personal world, you like certainty of knowing. Like some people like that certainty of a cultural belief. Some people go to different groups to get that certainty. And it seems to me part of what you're talking about is embracing uncertainty and being a little bit more comfortable in that. How can we do that in a leadership role and in this economic environment, which doesn't naturally give us certainty, but rather creates opportunity in that uncertainty?
Yeah, you know, we talked about when just in general with change and how change has happened over the last 4 years and through the pandemic and stuff. But I think the big question we have to ask ourselves, are we resisting of that uncertainty or are we embracing it? Like embracing the uncertainty and the uncomfortability? Yeah. And is it really giving us an opportunity to lead in different ways, right? Like are we leading in better ways or are we just pivoting to lead in different ways with our team? So I think we've got to really ask that kind of self-reflective question is, are we embracing or are we resisting that change?
And embracing that change is important, Tim, right?
No question, because when I feel anxiety, I am not anxious. I feel anxious, which means there's still a part of me that can move forward. The part of my brain that sorts things out is still available. So when I feel anxious, the goal is not to be more afraid, but to look for more certainty, right? To look for more of what we can do. And so it's just about a mindset shift. Like the fear is a gift. It's a signal to say something ain't working. So we can either do more of what's not working or we can step toward what we want. Resolution, excellence, innovation. Mm-hmm. Opportunities to serve, all of that's available if we just embrace it through a different lens.
So I think a good question to ask that, how do we as leaders embrace that change and how do we push that onto our team? Like, how do we empower our team to also want to embrace that? And I think we talked about a couple of things inside this class that I thought were just so valuable to want to share. And, you know, we talked about the margin for mistake, Tim, and, you know, being on a trusting team. And what does that look like? How do we allow people the platform to ask for help when they need and not feel, you know, more anxiety of doing that? You know, how do we as leaders listen a little bit better? And we talked about the try again killers, like, you know, giving shame or blame at certain times and how that creates more anxiety. Like, how do we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that all comes from the emotion of regret. When I make a mistake and it's not used as a learning tool, I'm disappointed. And I'm responsible for it. I've got blame. I've got shame. I start to see myself as less possible. And then those people who don't give me the space to make a mistake, I also now am gun shy to partner with them on anything that's vulnerable. And you know what's vulnerable? Wow. My good ideas. You know what's vulnerable? When I see something that's not working for us, I no longer raise my hand. And that's why it's a try again killer. That when I feel regret because I could not learn from my mistake in my environment, then you're inviting more misses in it because you lost that person's ability to bring what's vulnerable. And what's vulnerable is what's different. But we all kind of know that's going to help us if we can apply it and people are free to bring it. But woo.
Well, what a perfect time to talk about this too, inside our organization where we're having our culture survey conversations, right? Where we are inviting people to bring those ideas, to bring vulnerability on what we can do to just become better. And so it's such a perfect tie-in right now. I think it's just such a great conversation to have is like, how are we creating the opportunity for our teams to embrace change and look at it as different opportunities to become better with our leadership and with our culture inside our organization?
So that's a great setup for the conversation about the culture survey. Walk us a little bit through. So we've done culture surveys in the past where we've sent emails out to employees. We've aggregated all the responses. We've had a third party kind of help us out with that. Walk us through what that process will look like this time, the sessions that you have set up, and then maybe how Tim will engage with us as we go through the answers. Because getting the right answers or the correct or the true answers, the vulnerable answers to these culture survey questions is important if we want to do all the work that Tim's talking about, right?
Yeah, you know, so for many, many years, we have done an internal and anonymous culture survey through a third-party company. And this year, we decided to be innovative and do something a little different. So we're continuing our conversations amongst our teams about culture in a different way. We're allowing a platform for all of our team members to come into a room together and have open dialogue on what's going on inside their teams that they really enjoy and how do we protect that culture and keep doing those things. And then we get to have kind of an internal survey. We've set it up this year to be a little high tech and everyone comes and gets to do kind of virtual surveys to help guide our discussion on the culture dimensions that we have. So when you think about being committed and satisfied in your role, what does communication look like? What does recognition look like on your team? Do you feel like you've got growth and development resources available to you? What are the relationships like on your team? So we have a couple of questions that will help guide people, and everyone surveys and gets to vote on areas that we find low on our teams. And then we come up with action plans to fix those areas. And so it's just really great open conversation. It allows everyone to come together and kind of have a voice of what they like and what they don't like. And then it's kind of nice. We don't have the managers in those sessions. We do a separate management session and bring the managers together to talk about, hey, this is what the team came up with. This is what your team is saying that we could have some innovation on and do things better. And so it's just a really cool platform. And we've just started these sessions actually this past week, and we're moving into a couple of our other stores next week. But I'm just really excited to keep that conversation going and really give everyone the opportunity to feel empowered, to know that they're a part of driving the change in their culture and their store. So it is really cool. So that's the process behind our culture session.
So when do those sessions begin, Arai? And who's invited to attend those?
Yeah, so we actually just started these this past week with our Hoffman Estates teams. We're going into our Racine, Wisconsin teams next week. And so they'll just be for internal teams here, just to know, keep an eye out for emails of dates and times of those sessions. Anyone and everyone is invited. So if anyone feels that they've got great ideas on culture, and we all do, on how to make things better on our team, come be a part of the conversation and lead some of that change in your store.
Tim, what do you think about that type of introspection, asking questions, those types of sessions when we talk about creating? We've got a good culture here at the Ziegler Auto Group. We're talking about increasing the level of culture and kind of acceptance of ideas that may or may not make us uncomfortable. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think it's always important to have the dialogue about culture, because culture is simply a collection of what we live and what we agree upon. And one of the things about this particular organization, the Auto Group, has grown at such a rate. And I know if you're inside every day, you can't see it. But I'm blessed to be an insider friend of the organization for a long time. I was sharing with Sam, my family bought a car from Ziegler when I was 12. And as you see from the gray hair on my chin, ain't no more 12. However, I will say that your growth has been exponential, much like the rate of change in the world around us. And so every time you add a new branch to the tree, we have to rethink how we garden. We have to think about the fruit we're bearing. We have to think about the distribution of the nutrients of the culture and make sure that they make it to every branch and every leaf. And you all have been growing like, woo, right?
Yeah.
And so even though you've got a good culture, you got one because you built one, it's not a given when you're growing as fast as you're growing, bringing in so many new people and different to bring other cultures and bring them into the family tree. We must be more vigilant than we've ever been.
How about this for a stat to throw along that in this conversation? Yeah. So in 2022, 47 million American workers quit their job. In 2022.
In one year.
If that doesn't tell us to protect and ask ourselves, what is the environment that I'm creating for my team? Because anyone can go anywhere, right? It's where they feel most valued. It's where they feel more purposeful, where they can, you know, put their why behind what they do. And that goes along hand in hand with where they're doing it and where the culture's at. So if that shouldn't remind us to always be protecting, and that's why we do things like this, is to constantly ask the questions of what are we doing and how can we continue to keep building on the culture we've created? I think it's so important.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Well, Tim, tell us and Team Ziegler, where are you headed next to within the Ziegler Auto Group? And then for our external audience, if they want to know more about you and your services and how to get a hold of you, how can they get a hold of you? First up, where next within Ziegler will you be?
We're getting ready to take the Ziegler Midwest tour again in the end of May, and you'll get that information coming to you across the Auto Group. And I just want to say, I want to see my friends and managers in the room. You all come on, join us. We're going to be talking about ways in which we can take what we're learning about who we are and who we want to be and put them into action. This is going to be practical tools, and we hope to have some special conversations and messages for you coming in that next course. We'll start out in Racine, then we move to Illinois and Hoffman Estates and Orland Park, and we'll come back through around Lake Michigan up to Kalamazoo and Granville. And we hope that you all can catch us on one of the stops there toward the end of the month here. Keep your eyes open for that. To learn more about what we do, the company is Translators Consulting Group. The website, translatorscgconsultinggroupcg.com. And there you can get in touch, find us, learn all about the programs. There's videos and blogs, and there's ebooks there for you to pick up. There's a workbook even about how to listen better. I mean, we're trying to make sure we got practical tools for teams every day. And so that's how you find us. Thank you, Sam, for letting me tell folk about that. And Araya.
Well, Tim Tarantine, it's always a treat to have you here. You're actually one of our most listened episodes as we push this out in the world through our Driving Vision podcast. The insight that you give is always super interesting and benefits not only the culture of the Ziegler Auto Group, but the individuals that contribute to that culture. So thank you so much for being here. And Araya, obviously, always thank you for your leadership and driving these conversations on culture. Team Ziegler can watch out for those culture sessions that are coming up where we give feedback and we lean into the change that makes better an already great culture. So again, both of you, we appreciate you being here and thanks for joining the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks to Araya Daniels and Tim Tarantine for joining the podcast. Until next week, how are you driving vision today?